بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله، may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to learn and benefit from the beautiful lives of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Their lives are such, every aspect of their lives, there's guidance for us, for every level of society, for every category of society. Where do we find guidance? In the beautiful lifestyle and the teachings of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Looking in their lifestyle, we will gain the correct understanding of deen also. For the youth of the ummah, for the young of the ummah, for the old of the ummah, for the male of the ummah, for the female of the ummah, whether one is a businessman, whether he is a farmer, a lawyer, an agriculturer, every aspect of society, we will find guidance in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We learn of a great Sahabi who was very, very young. Like we discussed, the male of the ummah, the male of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, known as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We also learn some of the lives of the Sahabiyat. But there were also those who were before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were youngsters, who grew up in front of him. They were the youth. And the youth are the future of the ummah. The youth have the energy to carry out great tasks for the deen. If the youth is challenged, is utilized correctly. Sadly, in today's time, such a trend has come about that when one is youth or young, we refer to it as teenager. As though we're trying to legalize or actually make an excuse for their tantrums and so forth. Islam actually gives responsibility to teenager. That responsibility is already on his shoulders, that you have to now obey Allah. From the time he is 10, emphatically salah has to be brought into his life. Already he was encouraged from childhood. He sees his father, he sees his mother. Then when he's 7, he's encouraged. And now it is emphasized on him with more emphasis and force, because it should be part and parcel of his life already. And now he's coming towards the age of bulugh, where everything will be written for him and against him. So Islam gives great importance to this. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا تزال قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن خمس. A person will not be able to move on the day of judgment until he would be interrogated regarding 5 aspects of his life, 5 legs of his journey in this world. Number 1, he would be questioned about his life, and umrihi, fima afna, in what pursuit, in what avenue did he spend his life, number 1. Number 2, how did he spend his youth? وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَأْبْلَى. And then other questions like regarding his wealth, how did he earn it, and in which avenues did he spend it, and also in regards to his deen, how did he practice it, did he practice what he knew, and so forth. But from these questions that every person would be questioned about, one specific question is about his life, another question is about how he spent his youth. Because youth is a gift of Allah. Allah gives that extra strength. Allah gives that power. How are we going to be using it for Allah Ta'ala's sake? And youth carries on. It carries on from the age of bulugh right till that age of 40. A person still remains that fata. Quran refers to it as innahum fitya amanu bi rabbihim wazidnahum huda. The Ashab-e-Kahf that everyone would be reading today, inshallah. They are young men, fitya. People of youth, of strength, of vigor, futuwa, those who have energy that Allah gives them so much of, fitya. Amanu bi rabbihim, they had iman on Allah. Allah says, wazidnahum huda, and we increase them in iman, we increase them in iman. Then Allah even speaks of how they stood up for deen in front of the king who was about to assassinate them. So what the youth are prepared to do for Allah's deen, for Allah's sake, and for standing up for the truth, we learn this from the youth of Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم. عمير، عمير بن سعد، عمير بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه. He was known as نسيج وحده. نسيج وحده in Arabic. He was one of a kind, the Sahabi. One of a kind, رضي الله تعالى عنه. So عمير رضي الله عنه, being young before Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in his tender ages, tasted the bitter pill of being an orphan. And what happened, because of him being an orphan, he didn't have anyone to take care of him. So he was destitute and in difficulty. But Allah then opened his way, and his mother got married to one of the men from the Aus tribe, who was very well-to-do, whose name was Julas, Julas ibn Suwaid. And Julas in turn took a lot of care for Umair radiallahu anhu. He joined him and took him as part and parcel of his family. And this is also a great practice in our deen, that when you wed a woman or vice versa, take that individual's child as your own. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually taught us this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take care of his wife's children. Okay. On many occasions, like Amr. Amr was Amr ibn Abi Salama. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu passed away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, and the child from there, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take care of the child. Some ahadith in regards to the etiquettes of eating and so forth and the teachings of deen come to us via Amr ibn Salama, this little child. So Umair then was given wonderful treatment by Julas, and they would go to the masjid together. Umair started, you know, loving Julas and vice versa. And as this child grew up, his qualities, his his deen, his intelligence, his nobility was now starting to become apparent in all of his actions, his dealings and so forth. And in spite of being very, very young, he would very often be in the masjid, often be behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was passionate about deen in spite of his tender age, and he was passionate about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was in and out of the masjid, and life carried on with peace and being calm. And then what happened was a test of Allah came, and it was a difficult test. It was something bitter and difficult. It was in the 9th year after Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that we would be going towards Tabuk, going towards the Roman regions, you know, against the Roman Empire, because they are planning to come for us, and we are now in turn going for them, and we will meet them in their lands. Generally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not inform the people of the destinations, of the directions of the journey. He would actually indicate to something else, and he would camouflage the actual destination. But on this occasion, because of the difficult journey and because of the scorching heat, this was one of the last expeditions in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The details of this expedition is recorded in Surah Tawbah. And in this chapter of the Quran, many qualities of the munafiqeen are discussed in detail. Interestingly, in the Quran, if you want details of Badr, you would find it in Anfal. Details of Uhud in Surah Ali Imran. Details of the Battle of Khandaq in Surah Al-Ahzab. The battle after Khandaq was the banishment of Qurayza and the Banu Nadir and so forth. You would find that also in Surah Hashr. And the details of Hudaybiyah and some of Khaybar is in Surah Al-Fath. So a lot of the expeditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are commented on in the Quran Kareem in a most eloquent, beautiful manner. So this battle of Tabuk is discussed in the surah called Tawbah. It's an amazing chapter of the Quran Kareem to read and learn and understand. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now announces to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and explicitly mentions Tabuk because of the difficulty, the arduous journey, and the need for proper preparation, the intense heat, and so forth. Certain Many Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, but the munafiqeen were discouraging the people that don't go. You know, it's very, very hot. So Allah Ta'ala revealed verses of the Quran. Tell them, قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّةً. The fire of Jahannam is more intense in heat. And in this, the Sahabi was in the masjid when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announces who would contribute towards this expedition. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu are contributing. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brings every last penny he had. Umar radiallahu anhu halves his entire properties and portfolio and gives half in Allah Ta'ala's way. Uthman radiallahu anhu kept on bringing repeatedly, you know, dirhams and dinars and horses and whatever. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought so much. There was a Sahabi radiallahu anhu who sold his bed at home to get that amount and contributed towards striving in Allah Ta'ala's way. There was a Sahabi radiallahu anhu who was actually lame. He didn't have limbs, and he went, and with difficulty he earned and managed to bring and accumulate some dates, and he presented that. So all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were contributing and trying their best and sacrificing. But the munafiqeen were mocking. Those that gave lots, the munafiqeen, they would comment and say, look at this person, he's showing off. Those that couldn't bring anything and would bring a little, the munafiqeen would utter and comment, no, Allah Ta'ala doesn't need this man's contribution, man. What is he contributing for? Allah save us from such an attitude, the attitude of the munafiqeen. Negativity in everything. Actually, deen teaches us to be positive. Look at goodness. Look at kindness. Look at character. Look at good in the ummah. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so beautiful. There's so much of hope in this ummah. There's so much of wonderful people in the beautiful ummah of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq to be positive. Anyway, the beautiful environment of iman brings about this fervor for sacrifice. So this child is in this beautiful environment of the masjid. He sees all of this. He sees Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu giving everything. He sees Sahaba radiallahu anhu trying to give them all in Allah Ta'ala's way. And he comes home and he looks for his father, Julas. Father, where are you? Everyone gave. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave like this. Umar radiallahu anhu gave like this. Uthman radiallahu anhu gave like this. Ali radiallahu anhu gave like that. And different Sahaba radiallahu anhu made so much of sacrifices. He saw Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu bring that 1,000 dinar and present it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He saw the joy it brought to Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He witnessed Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu carrying those 200 uqiyah of gold and presenting it before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of these beautiful environments of sacrifice from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And now he's trying to inspire his stepfather Julas, and he's trying to instill in him this fervor for Allah Ta'ala's deen. So he's narrating to him incidents of what happened in the masjid. So in this, his stepfather was upset and distraught by what he said. And he said, you know, what are you telling me about? Why are you telling me about all these things? Now, before I mention this, my respected listeners, remember, before we utter, we have to think. We have to ponder. We have to realize, what is the nature of what I am saying? One statement a person makes can bring a person into iman. And sometimes, on the other hand, a person says one thing that takes a person out of iman. Understand it this way. One thing you said brought joy to a person. One thing a person said upset a person. One statement can make communities. Another statement can destroy lives. One statement took place, two people that were haram for each other now became halal for each other. And their being together is meritorious. On the other hand, one statement once said, two people that were halal for each other now become haram completely for each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. A person uttered one statement that pleased Allah. In such a such situation, he uttered the correct thing. He defended the people of Haqq. He said what pleases Allah. That one statement guarantees him Allah's pleasure forever and ever. On the other hand, a person uttered a kalima, a statement, a word, a sentence that displeased Allah, that broke communities, that broke families, that was disrespectful. That one statement takes a person out of iman. And sometimes, to such an extent, that one statement calls him, يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي النَّارِ أَبْعَدَ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا أو كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He falls into hellfire as a repercussion of that statement. He falls 70 years in Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us. So here now he uttered the statement that, what are you telling me? All these things are not true. And he uttered such a statement that comes in the report that I find difficulty in translating, where he said something that took him out of Iman. Allah save us. Sometimes we question certain tenets of Iman. Sometimes we question certain teachings of Deen. That what is this? How can this be in Islam? And many a times it is in regards to pertinent aspects of our Sharia, laws of our Sharia, and we question it. Certain times it's in regards to injunctions of the Quran. Like we might, na'udhu billah, someone might question, why does a woman have to cover herself? As a person of Iman, this is, if we are asking to learn, then it is permissible. If we are asking, actually questioning the Quran and doubting this teaching of Deen, our Iman is at stake. We have to be careful. The intention in which we ask, the manner in which we ask. Sometimes a person can say, it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One statement can have two meanings. It is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, if we said it in a manner that it is sunnah, and we should try and follow, and we should try and practice. But sometimes we say, it only sunnah. Meaning, as though it means nothing, and it's not important at all. Statements like that, we should be wary of, and we should be cautious in regards to. Umayr was now in a predicament. What does he do? A man who has been good to him, a man in whose home Umayr resides, Umayr is growing up in front of this man, but now his mind is working. What do I do? Do I keep quiet? This man has uttered something against my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do I keep quiet or do I go to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I am an orphan. This man is taking care of me. Now he is weighing the situation in his heart. A little child, a little boy, he doesn't know what to do. But look at this child. He makes the choice that pleases Allah. He puts Allah in front, and this is Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This is what we learn from them in every situation, in all conditions. Put Allah first. Put Allah first. Allah must be the goal and the purpose of our lives. Allah must be priority. He goes to Julas and he said, "Oh Julas, oh my father, I love you so much. After my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love you the most. But remember, my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more beloved to me than you. My Deen is more beloved to me than you. You made a statement. I can't keep quiet in regards to that statement. Make tawbah, because I'm going to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I'm going to inform him of what you have uttered." Anyway, Julas didn't take adherence to what Umayr radiallahu anhu said. And then Umayr went to the masjid and he informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what he heard from Julas. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept him there in the masjid and sent one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, go and call Julas. Not long afterwards, Julas came, greeted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sat before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Ma maqalatun sami'a minka Umayr ibn Sa'ad?" There's a statement, something that you said, that Umayr said, heard from you. What is this that you are saying? Julas just responded and said, in the turn, on the cuff. He said, "No, he's lying against me. It's a fabrication, it's a lie. I said no such thing." Now there's a challenge. Now there's a predicament. The Sahabi, Umayr radiallahu anhu, is in the masjid, this youth. Julas is there. All the Sahaba radiallahu anhu are there in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now the scene takes place. And everyone is now stuck to this situation here, trying to understand what had happened here, and trying to read the faces of the two. Only Allah knows what is kept in the hearts. And now some would have thought that, look at this youngster, he is in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time, he can never utter a lie against anyone, he would never fabricate, his children are pure and innocent, it's not possible for this child to utter something besides that which he had heard himself. Others would have thought that, look at him, he's living with Julas, how can he lie against Julas? And in this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees the situation. This child was crying. Why was he crying? Why was he crying? That now my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mustn't be upset with me. Because most people would listen to the elderly. Who will listen to me? I am just but a youngster. I am just but a youngster. No one will take what I say as serious. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam must not be upset with me. But he said, oh my Nabi, I spoke the truth. And then Julas on the other hand is saying, I spoke the truth. And Julas is actually taking an oath by Allah's name also, that it's not true. What Umayr is saying is not true. And this was the situation in Masjid al-Nabawi. This was the situation in Masjid al-Nabawi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the report of Ustul Ghaba, here he was, when he heard his father utter the statement that, you know, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such, he said, how can you say such a thing? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is most truthful. You are that what you said. وَإِنَّكَ شَرٌّ مِّنَ الْحَمِيدِ. And then he said, how can I conceal this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then Quran will consider me like you. And then he's thinking to himself, this man has been so good to me. But my Allah comes first. So this report is quite similar, but it actually puts us into perspective of how Sahaba radiallahu anhum taught. Yes, loyalty is important, but loyalty is first to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the teachings of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Back to this incident. They are in the masjid. This incident is carrying on. And in this, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were, so to say, awaiting in their seats what is the outcome. Who is on the right? And all remain silent. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seized by a condition that would envelop him when wahi would come down. Then Sahaba radiallahu anhum would remain silent, awaiting the teachings of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in this condition. Now imagine, Umayr bin Sa'ad, this youngster, is turning to Allah. And in that, Julas is there also. What we learn from here: no matter what your age, no matter what your color, no matter what your creed, no matter what your family, you can speak to Allah. You can speak to Allah. Allah loves the youth. Allah loves the youth. Verses of Quran are revealed. After A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يحلفون بالله ما قالوا ولقد قالوا كلمة الكفر وكفروا بعد إسلامهم وهموا بما لم ينالوا وما نقموا إلا أن أغناهم الله ورسوله من فضله فإن يتوبوا يك خيرا لهم وإن يتولوا يعذبهم الله عذابا أليما في الدنيا والآخرة وما لهم في الأرض من ولي ولا نصير. These verses were revealed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and recites the verses of the Quran. Recites the verses of the Quran, and these verses were also revealed in Surah Tawbah, as we discussed earlier. What battle does Surah Tawbah discuss? What does these verses mean? يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ مَا قَالُوا. They take oath in Allah's name that they didn't utter such things. They didn't make such statements. Then Allah says, certainly they have made those statements. They have uttered the statements of kufr. And they have lost their iman after they brought Islam previously. And they now plan or think they can accomplish something that they will never be able to accomplish. Meaning, no matter what people do, they can never stop Allah's deen. Allah's people are always there. وَمَا نَقَمُوا. And they are not upset with anything but the fact that Allah has enriched them. Allah has enriched them. Allah has helped them. Allah has blessed them. Meaning, they have nothing that can cause this anger except the fact that they have, because Allah gave them. But still they want to utter such things against Allah, against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah then says, if they make tawbah, it will be better for them. And if they turn away, Allah will punish them severely in this world and the next. And on this earth there will not be any supporter, any ally for them. And in this, Julas was shocked at this verse of the Quran. And his tongue had been caught, so to say, in this situation. And he turns to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Oh my Nabi, I make Tawbah. Oh my Nabi, I make Tawbah. Bal atub ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bal atub. Umayr was true. Oh my Nabi, I was not speaking the truth. Ask Allah to accept my Tawbah. May my life be ransomed for thee, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to this youngster, Umayr ibn Sa'ad. Turns to him, and Allah's Nabi congratulates him. Now imagine the Sahabi tearing in Masjid al-Nabawi. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passionately, lovingly places his Mubarak hands on this child's ears and holds it, congratulating him, saying, "Waffat udhunuka ya hulam, ma sami'at, wa saddaqaka rabbuk." Your ears have fulfilled what they have heard. Your ears were true in hearing, and you uttered what was true. And Allah confirmed what you uttered, youngster. Allahu Akbar. This is what the youth of this ummah are capable of. The youth of this ummah can draw Allah's help. They would bring Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam down. This is how Allah ta'ala loves the youth. This is what the youth have the ability of doing. When that youngster will strive and serve Allah ta'ala's deen and strive in Allah ta'ala's way and uplift Allah's deen and speak out for Allah's pleasure and treat humanity with character and bring people to the masjid and use their energy for Allah's pleasure. How Allah becomes happy with the youth. Allah loves the youth the most when they make tawbah, when they connect to Allah, and when they connect humanity to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Julas made tawbah and he repented to Allah ta'ala for the mistake. And Allah Ta'ala, you know, accepts Tawbah. And he was very kind to Umayr bin Sa'ad radiallahu anhu after that. And this is also the sign of Tawbah. When someone reported you, and now you showed kindness to that person, that means you are sincere in the fact that you are happy that this person became the means of your Tawbah. Anyway, Umayr's life was a life exemplary. All his life he lived serving Allah Ta'ala's deen. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Hims needed a governor. As we discussed before, the people of Hims would always complain about their governors. Umar radiallahu anhu didn't know who to send there, and now he's thinking and pondering over each of his men, who's the right man for this task to serve Allah's deen in this region, Hims. Because Sahaba used to be sent everywhere, far and wide, to serve Allah Ta'ala's deen. Far and wide. That's why their graves are in different countries of the world, because they left their homes for the pleasure of Allah. They left their homes to teach deen in the countries of the world, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In spite of the rewards of Makkah Mukarramah and Madina Munawwara being so much, good deeds multiplied, Sahaba radiallahu anhum sacrificed that. For example, one day's salah in Makkah Mukarramah, each salah is multiplied 100,000 times its fold. Anywhere else in the world to get that amount of reward for salah, it takes a person 55 years, 6 months, 20 days. But Sahaba who were from there, living in those regions, sacrificed that, all those rewards. But humanity must get Jannat. Humanity must be introduced to deen. Humanity must be told who is Allah. For this they sacrificed. So he goes to this region. Who did Umar radiallahu anhu appoint for Hims? He realizes that Umayr bin Sa'ad is the man to be sent. He sends Umayr bin Sa'ad radiallahu anhu there. Obedience. He goes. And where was Umayr? He was striving in Allah Ta'ala's path in Sham. Anyway, he goes to Hims. He becomes the governor there. He gathers the people. He gives them encouragement. He gives them bayan. And then he spent an entire year there serving deen, teaching the people, guiding the people, you know, striving in Allah Ta'ala's way, spreading Islam, ruling with justice. And Umar radiallahu anhu got worried that I hadn't received a message from Umayr. Umar radiallahu always wanted letters from his governors to make sure that everything is going well. So he sends a letter to Umayr, that as soon as my letter arrives to you in Hims, leave Hims and come to me. Umayr bin Sa'ad receives the letter of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He takes his wudu container. He takes a small container for food. He props his goods on his stick. And now he departs on his journey. And he goes on foot to Madina Munawwara. By the time he reached Hims, which is in Sham and Syria, and Madina Munawwara, what a distance. His body had become weak and feeble. Imagine walking that distance. First he goes to meet Amir al-Mu'mineen, because Amir al-Mu'mineen called for him. Amir al-Mu'mineen was shocked to see the condition of Umayr. What happened, O Umayr? He says, what do you mean, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, what happened? I am well. The whole dunya is in my hands. I'm pulling the dunya by its horn. So he says, that, you know, what of the dunya do you have? Umar radiallahu anhu felt maybe he brought some of the income from that region for the Baytul Mal in Medina Munawwara. So he says, I have with me my container, my jirab, and in this I have a little bit of zaad provision for me, and I have my container in which I, you know, use for my wudu, and I use to wash myself when I bath, and I have one water skin to make wudu and to drink water. And everything besides this of the dunya, besides these necessities, everything else is extra and everything else is irrelevant. Whatever else besides this is not needed. Umar radiallahu anhu says, that you come walking. He says, yes, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, didn't you receive a conveyance as being the governor? He says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, they didn't give me and I would never ask from them. I only ask from Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu says, okay, what did you bring for the Baytul Mal? He says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I didn't bring anything. Umar radiallahu anhu says, why haven't you brought anything? He says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, when you appointed me over Hims, I gathered the people, I put people into different positions, and regarding every aspect, I would make mashura with them, and when we collected zakat and income and booties, we would spend it on the needy of our people. Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu was satisfied. He said to his scribe, you know, appoint Umayr bin Sa'd for a new term, another term over as the governor of Hims. Umayr radiallahu anhu said, please, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, don't appoint me as a governor. Please don't do that. Again, appoint someone else. I am an ordinary person. Please, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, he abided by the request of Umayr bin Sa'd, and then he asked Amir al-Mu'mineen's permission to go into one of the regions of Medina to live there. Umar radiallahu anhu allowed him. Anyway, Umayr bin Sa'd now is living in one vicinity, in one small locality outside Medina Munawwara. And Umar radiallahu anhu would always verify and see to the condition of his satis. Radiallahu anhu would always see to his companions. So he one day sends Harith, O Harith, go to Umayr ibn Sa'd. He's living in this town here. Go look for him in this one region. And he gives him 100 dinar. If you see he's in need, give him this 100 dinar. Harith goes into that direction, goes into that vicinity, and he finds out where is Umayr ibn Sa'd. He finds him. He greets him. And he responds the salam. And he says, where have you come from? I've come from Medina Munawwara. He says, how is Amir al-Mu'mineen? How are the Muslims there? All are well. Amir al-Mu'mineen is well. How is he doing in regards to the hudud and so forth? And what is happening? So he gives Umayr ibn Sa'd a full recount of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar radiallahu anhu. Because all wanted to know, how is Amir al-Mu'mineen? Because he is the ruler of the Ummah. How is his condition? And then Umayr bin Sa'd made dua for him. Oh Allah, help Umar radiallahu anhu. Oh Allah, he loves you immensely. Allah, you help him. Harith bin Sa'd stayed in that vicinity for 3 days. And each day, he ate with Umayr ibn Sa'd. And every day, Umayr radiallahu anhu would give him one roti to eat. That's all Umayr radiallahu anhu had in his home. On the third day, one of the people in the vicinity said to Harith, please come and stay by us. You're staying by this man here, yeah? And the food you're eating is the only food he has in his home, that he is preferring you. Anyway, at that time Harith realized the whole situation. He analyzed it. And he took out the 100 dinar and he gave it to him. And he left. So Umayr is telling Harith, what is this? She says, no, Amir al-Mu'mineen sent it to you. Sent it for you. She says, give it back to him and give him my salams. Tell him, no, we don't need, we are well. His wife from behind the parda says, that, oh, Umayr, take it. If you need it, you can use it. If you don't, there's so many needy people in this region here. So Harith, hearing this, left that bag of gold and left. And it wasn't even one day later when Umayr radiallahu anhu gathered an amount, put it into purses, and gave it to all the needy people. Anyway, when Harith then returned to Medina Munawwara, Umar radiallahu anhu says to him, what did you see? What was the condition? Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, difficulty, poverty. Did you give him the dinars? He says, yes, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar asked, what did he do with the dinar? He says, I don't know. But I don't think he'll even keep one for himself. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote then to Harith, to Umayr, instructing him, as soon as my letter comes, come to me. He immediately came to Medina Munawwara. Umar radiallahu asked him, what did you do with the dinars? He says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, why do you have to ask me this? You gave it to me. What I did with it is up to me. He says, please, I insist, you must tell me. I want to know what you did. He says, I invested it. I invested it for a day wherein no wealth, no children can avail us. Umar started to cry. And he said, I bear witness, you are from that group of Sahaba. الَّذِينَ يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. That Umar radiallahu anhu made other ikram of him. He said, no, I don't need this. I have, alhamdulillah, there is some food at home. I will have there. And Allah will bring us more. But this clothes that you're giving me, I'll take it. Because, you know, Umma Fulan, referring to his wife, the clothes that she has is worn out. I'll give her this pay. And not long after that, when Umair ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu left this world and went to Akhirat, returned to Allah Ta'ala, Umar radiallahu anhu heard about the demise of Umair ibn Sa'ad and he cried immensely. A report says that Umair bin Sa'ad passed away in Sham, out in Allah Ta'ala's way, teaching Allah Ta'ala's deen, striving in Allah's way in Sham. Umar radiallahu anhu said, وَدِدْتُ لُوْ أَنَّ لِي رِجَالًا. I wish I had more men like Umair ibn Sa'ad who can help me in making khidmat of the ummah. وَدِدْتُ لُوْ أَنَّ لِي رِجَالًا مِثْلَ عُمَيْرٍ أَسْتَعِينُ بِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْمَالِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I wish I had more men like Umair to help me in serving the ummah. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to emulate the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah give us some glimpses of their beautiful lives. And Allah Ta'ala forgive us and accept us for His deen. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.